And I've entitled this, Who Do You Love? Deuteronomy 6:5 says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Leviticus 19:18 says, You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. Your word is truth. I pray that you will let it have its way among us, your people, this morning. And it'll cause self-examination on our parts, Lord. And may everything said and done today be for your glory. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Hebrew word for heart, according to Dr. James Strong's, it's literally the heart. I told you that last week. The innermost organ. But it also implies mind and understanding. The word soul literally means living creature, but it also implies the mind and the will. And with all your might means holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, means vehemently. So you find in Deuteronomy that the Jews had, in Exodus, they had refused to go to Canaan, if you remember. They got to the Jordan, the spies came back. 10 of them said, there's no way we can do this. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go, God's with us. And it said they lifted up their voices and wept and told Moses, we're going to choose a leader and we're going back to Egypt. And that's when God sent them back into the wilderness. He said, everybody 20 years old and up will be dead in 40 years, and everybody 19 and below will go into Canaan. And in Exodus, the book of Moses of Exodus, when he talks about the giving of the law, God speaks from the mountain. The Jews hear what he has to say, and he gives the Ten Commandments. But in Deuteronomy, with this second generation, God chooses to, if you will, to to impress upon them the reason they are to follow the law, the reason they're to follow what he has to say, and it's love. And this word love in the Hebrew is ahab, and it literally means sexual or otherwise. So, of course, God's not speaking of sexually, but he's speaking of intimately. That's the implication of the word. So God says, I want to be intimate with you, and I want you to be intimate with me. Well, that implies I want you to know me. God is more than willing to reveal himself to people. He has spent the whole history of human history in doing that. And of course, we know the ultimate revealing was through Jesus Christ. So God said to the Jews, I want you to love me. And all the words for love in Hebrew and Greek, all the different words for love, imply a consent of your will. You choose to love me. I choose to love you. You choose to love me. And that became the downfall of the nation of Israel. In Deuteronomy 7:7, God said, the Lord set his love on you. He also declared that he wanted to give them the best. In Deuteronomy 7:13, he said, he will bless you and multiply you. The words love imply benevolence, which means to do good or goodwill, and affection. So God said to Israel, I have chosen you. I have chosen, I have willed to put my love on you, and I will to do you good. And that's the same kind of love he required for them. The love of God also extends to the love for his word. Going back to the text that I started with in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 7, God says to Israel, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So you cannot separate God from his word. And I see a lot of that going on. I talked to you the other Sunday about progressive Christianity, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. They're saying the Bible's fallible, it's errant, men wrote it, but they like the text in John 15 where Jesus says, I want you to love one another. And they stand on that text and say, well, that's what we're doing. We're tolerant of other religions, we're tolerant of sin, because that's the love that God has. Well, you can't separate him from his word. He gave them his word. He gave them the law. And he said, you need to love me, and you need to love my word. Because they don't contradict one another. And as I said, you can't separate them. And any church, any ideology that tries to do that, that is not showing a love for God, but a love for self. Actually, it's rejecting loving God, and it's loving me more than him. Paul points that out in Romans 1 when he talked about what was going on with mankind. He said they knew God, but they refused to honor him as God, and their foolish hearts became darkened. And he said they began to worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. And I was reading that one day, and the thought hit me, we're creatures. Now, we're not animals. When I was in a Baptist University, I remember a young lady in Hebrew prophets class or Old Testament history, she said, well, we're all just animals. And the professor looked at her and said, who told you that? Well, isn't that what the Bible says? He said, no, we're created in the image of God, but we are creatures. And when I read that passage one day, it hit me. Paul wasn't just talking about men begin to worship idols, because he was talking about that, making these images that look like birds and snakes and animals. But Paul was also saying, instead of loving God supremely, they love themselves. They elevated themselves to a position of godhood. Eve did the same thing in the Garden of Eden. God said, don't eat off that tree. And it said when Eve saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to look at and desirable for wisdom, she took it and ate it. And at that point, Eve stopped loving God and loved Eve more than God. And then Adam, who was with her, ate some fruit. And that showed that Adam stopped loving God supremely with all of his heart. And he loved Eve and Adam. That's why I've entitled this today, Who Do You Love? God is love. John says that. That's one of the most qualifying, clarifying statements in all the scriptures, and John done it well to sum it up in John 4:8. He said, God is love. If somebody asked you to describe God in one word, that's a good word, love. And since God is love and he created us in his image, he requires us to love him supremely. Jesus said it himself, you can't love your wife more than you love me. You can't love your children more than you love me, or you're not worthy to follow me. Why? Philippians says that even though he was in very nature God, he laid that all aside and came to the earth as a servant to go to the cross for us, because God loved the world so much. That word used in John 3:16 is agapeo. And I've heard ministers say, well, it was agape. No, it's agapeo. And that's why the King James especially translates it, for God so loved the world. Agapeo says loved so much. God loves us in spite of our faults and our failures and our shortcomings. He loves us enough in his word, pardon me, that he's given us warnings. Paul said when God gave the law to Moses, it made the whole world guilty and it stopped their mouths. It stopped their excuses. No longer could they say, well, who knows God's mind? It said before that he winked at man's ignorance. Men worshiped him as they chose to worship him, and God didn't hold that against them because there was no law. But Paul said when the law came, the world became guilty because God gave these specific written commandments and said, do this and don't do this. This I like, this I don't like. And if you love me, then you're going to love my commands. David said it in the 119th Psalm. And if read that psalm, go home this week and read through it. It's the longest psalm in the scriptures, but every paragraph David mentions the word of God. The word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. In Psalms 119:97, David starts out and says, I love your law, God, because it keeps me straight. You see, that's what God requires of his people. And when I hear these pseudo-prophets telling people, well, the Bible's full of errors, but you need to love God. Well, you can't love God if you don't love his word, because you're contradicting him and calling him a liar, as Satan did in the garden. Remember, we talked last week what he said to Eve. Did God really say? And that's still going on today. Pay attention to what you hear. God gave us this brain to use. It's not just to hold your ears apart. And that's what I see in some of these TV preachers. That's what they act like. Their brains is only there to hold their ears apart. They're not using it. God said to the Jews, you can't separate me from my word. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will always be here. David said that the word of God endures forever. And the Jews got into a problem that they studied the law, they read the law, they kept up with the sacrifices. You see in the book of Isaiah that God rebukes them for that. He said, who's asked you to do all this? And when you read it, you think, well, their answer would be, well, you did. You told us to offer the sacrifices and observe the Sabbath and to have these three feasts a year, to come to Jerusalem when the temple was in Jerusalem. That's where your name is. And you told us to do this. But what God say? You honor me with your lips, but you worship me in vain because your hearts are far away from me. So what had they done? They replaced the love of God for the love of self. He said that to the prophet Ezekiel. He said, son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts. What does that mean? Their love shifted. They were supposed to love me with all their hearts. And when you think about that, what happened to Israel is they still claim to love God. But God, who knows the hearts of all people, the elders of Jerusalem came to Ezekiel because God was pronouncing these terrible judgments. So they came to Ezekiel and said, well, let's go and see what Ezekiel tells us. And it said they sat down in front of Ezekiel. And God spoke in Ezekiel's ear and he said, you see these guys coming to talk to you? He said, Ezekiel, they've taken their idols into their hearts. Their love has changed. They love this false religion. They love lies. And he said, you tell them, I will not be inquired by you. Why? It wouldn't do any good. They don't love me anymore. They love themselves. So he said, Ezekiel, just tell them you're not going to answer any questions. You're not going to give them any instructions because their hearts have changed. They love themselves and they will not listen to anything that I tell you to say. They refuse to obey God's word. He goes on in Ezekiel 33 to say, and they come to you as people come and set before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they will not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths, they act. Their heart is set on their gain. The King James translates that, for with love, they speak in love. And again, it says, God says, the Jews say, let's go listen to what the prophet's saying. Everything's going haywire. Let's go listen to what Ezekiel has to say. And God said, you know, Ezekiel, they come to you and they say, we want to know what God has to say. And they come as my people. We want to hear God's word, preach God's word. And God said, it's all lip service. They don't love me. They're looking for a loophole. What can we do? What do you want us to do? They had their religion down. But as I said in another message, they were incorporating the religion of the Canaanite gods into their worship of God. They didn't totally throw God out. They said, well, we'll follow God. He's our warrior God. He's our protector. But Baal waters the crops. And they were offering child sacrifices to Baal. We worship Moloch. There were several different gods, Rephaim. We're going to put all this together and call it godliness. And God told Ezekiel it's too late. That's what he's saying here. It's too late, Ezekiel. They've changed their love. They have replaced the affection that they're supposed to have for me into the affection for themselves and this false religion. And that's a very dangerous thing to do, and it still goes on today, people. And that's why God stresses the importance in these two commandments, love. He says, you have to love me. You have to love my word. You have to trust my word, that this is my word. And if you're going to love me, you're going to love my commandments. As David said, I love your law. They preferred to hear lies. The prophet Jeremiah says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule at their direction, at the prophet's direction. My people love to have it so. In short, God said the love of God was replaced by the love of self. That's sad. But Paul told Timothy the same thing would happen in the last days. People would no longer endure sound doctrine, but they would heap up to themselves teachers who would say what their itching ears wanted to hear. What is that, love for God or love for self? That's love for self. I've been in the ministry 24 years, and I've heard teachers and ministers say, well, I don't want to rebuke people for sin because I don't want them to be angry. Well, then that proves two things to me. You love yourself more than you love God, and you love yourself more than you love those people. If you love the Word, if you believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, if you believe that there's going to be a judgment and eternal punishment for the wicked, if you love the Lord and you love them, you ought to warn them, shouldn't you? What if I saw a child walking on the tracks and a train run over him, and you said, why didn't you say something? I'd say, well, I didn't want to make the kid mad. I didn't want to make the kid think I was trying to make him do something they didn't want to do. That wouldn't be acceptable. But we bring that excuse to God. Well, I don't want him getting mad. I was talking with Questel the other day about child rearing and discipline. We were talking about that, and I told her I heard this minister once preach a message on that, and he said, people say, well, I just love my children too much to spank them. And he said, that's not an honest statement. What you ought to say is, I love myself more than I do my kids. I don't want my kids to be angry with me. I don't want my kids to stop talking to me. I don't want my kids to have a bad attitude towards me because I love myself. What's God say? If you refuse to discipline a child, it proves you hate the child. God said that. Rick didn't say it. So sometimes walking in love is not easy. God admits that to us. But because of his love for us, God has given us his word, and he has said, this is what you need to do, and this is what you don't want to do. And he says, if you love me, love my word. Trust me. When the Lord Jesus Christ came to Israel, it seems that things had not changed very much. Once a scribe asked Jesus what was the most important commandment of the law, and Jesus answered with Deuteronomy 6:5, what I just read to you. And Jesus said there was another one that was just as important, which was Leviticus 19:18. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said the whole law hangs on these two commandments. James said it to the church. If these are, he called them the royal commandments of the royal law. If you keep these two, you'll fulfill the law. And that makes sense. If we love God and we love God's word and we love our neighbors, that word agapeo means to be, to love much and to be concerned. It doesn't necessarily mean that I have to have an affection, especially when Jesus said, love your enemies. Well, you're asking me to love people I don't even like. Well, he's not talking about an emotional attachment. He's talking about a genuine concern for them, a goodwill. That word love means a goodwill. You want to show them goodwill. How do we do that with our enemies? Jesus said, pray for them. Bless those who curse you, who persecute you. That's kind of hard. I didn't say it was easy. I just said do it. Because that shows that you love God supremely and that you love others. But when we choose to love self, then we're guilty of idolatry. I'm going to take the love that I'm supposed to show to God and show it for Rick. I'm not going to warn people about sin. I don't want people mad at me. Well, I told you last message, I'd rather have the whole world line up against me when I stand before Christ and hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did what you were supposed to do. You warned them. Paul said to Ezekiel, I've made you a watchman over the house of Israel. If I tell you to warn the wicked and they don't turn from their wickedness, they'll die in their sin, but you're free of their blood. But if I tell you to warn them and you don't, they will die in their sin, but I'll require their blood at your hand. In other words, you knew you were supposed to warn them and you didn't. And in Jesus' day, his main rebuke to the Pharisees, in John 5, he said, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. And then he goes on to tell him, here's what you love. And it's the same word, agapeo. Here's what you love the most. You love to walk around in long robes. You love greetings in the marketplace. And you love to be called teacher. You love to have the best seats in the synagogue. What was Jesus saying? You love yourselves. You like the pat on the back. He told his apostles, woe be to you if the world speaks well of you. Well, aren't we called to get along? Yeah, but not to compromise. You can speak the truth in love. I remember a young minister told me that one time. Rick, we need to be like Jesus and speak the truth in love. I said, I agree with you 100%. No one ever loved like Jesus. No one ever spoke the truth as Jesus did. But what happened to him? They nailed him to a cross. Because he told Nicodemus, God loved the world so much, so very much. He was so concerned with the world that he gave his only begotten son. Two verses later, he said, here is the judgment, Nicodemus. Men loved darkness instead of light. Same word. And that also implies in the Greek, they preferred it. This that I told you with the scribes, Jesus says they prefer this. They choose it. Again, an ascent of the will. We are to consent with our whole will, our whole mind, and our whole understanding that God is worthy of our love. And God says, if you don't love me, it's not going to work. Why? Because you will eventually put my word aside when you stop loving me the way I ask you to love me. You're going to stop loving my word and you'll cast it off to the side. We do what we love. I mean, that's just the truth. We will do what we love, what we want. People don't come to church on Sunday morning. Why? Well, let's just be honest. Sometimes there's extenuating circumstances where they can't. Other times it's because they don't want to. Where's their love for the fellowship? Hebrews says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning in reading some of the church history, the church had communion every time they came together, the Lord's Supper. And they did that. They wanted to keep the crucifixion in the front of their minds. And I read that if you missed three communion services, the deacons or the elders were coming to your house saying, what is your problem? Because they saw that as a heart issue. Are you falling out of love with God? Now today we would think, well, that's harsh. You don't have any business to question my love for God. And yet Jesus pinpointed the problem with the religious leaders of his day. He said, you don't have God's love in you. You love yourself. And so therefore, your religion is unacceptable to God. You can do all the right things. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13. I could give all my possessions away Surrender my body to the stake, be burned at the stake, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. If I'm not doing it out of a love for God, then he said it doesn't mean a thing. Other people could stand back and say, wow, that guy really loved the Lord. He gave his life. And Paul said God would look at you and say, no, you loved yourself. One theologian, I like the term he used, he calls it disinterested benevolence. In other words, it's a love that has no impure motive. I love the Lord because I love the Lord. One theologian I read, a thesis he'd written, he said, what if God was to say to you, I really appreciate the way that you keep my word, but I have decided that you're not going to heaven. When you die, you will go to the lake of fire. He said, how many of us would say, well, I'm still going to follow you. I'm still going to love your word. I'm still going to love you. When I read that, I thought, boy, that'd be kind of tough. To say, well, you're righteous, God, you're holy, and you have every right to either take me into heaven or reject me. But even if you do reject me, I'm going to keep following you. He said, that is disinterested benevolence, disinterested love. You don't have a false motive. You love the Lord because he deserves your love. Jesus loved his disciples. The Bible says that. Having loved his own, he loved him to the very end. And he told his disciples they were to love one another as I have loved you. Now, in the Greek, when they use that word, it's agape. That's the word most Christians know. It means affection and goodwill. And Jesus said to his church, I want you to love each other in the same way I loved you. How much did he love us? He laid his life down for us. He left heaven's glory and came here and humbled himself and became a servant. Jesus put his own thoughts and desires and aspirations aside, being God Almighty, and he became a servant and he humbled himself to death on the cross. And he said, I want you to love each other the same way I do. That's tough, because I love me quite a bit. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Here it is again. You can't separate God from his word. He said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. This was in John 14, just hours before he went to the cross. He was giving his men final instructions. He was telling them, this is what's going to happen, but it's a good thing because then you're going to be saved and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, who, by the way, Paul says God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So it's there. I have to choose to allow that love with my will. I have to choose to put my feelings aside and say, I'm going to love you anyway. And I have that love within me, and so do you if you're a Christian. Jesus said, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Man, that's black and white, isn't it? He said, if you love me, you'll keep my word. If you don't love me, you won't keep my word. And yet we have, in the name of Christianity being preached today, well, that Bible isn't really God's word. Well, what does that say? You don't love him, you love yourself. It still amazes me when I think about it that people choose to say, well, I believe I'm a Christian because the Bible says. But they will go off into the sin and into the ways of the world and justify that by saying, well, the Bible's full of errors. Well, then how do you know you're saved? Well, the Bible says. Now, wait a minute. You can't use the Bible. That's the way I see things. You can't do that. If it's written by men, that scripture you're believing for your salvation may very well be erroneous and false, and you're believing a lie. You don't get to pick and choose. Well, I like what this says, so I'll follow that, but I don't like what this says. That makes me uncomfortable. I don't think a loving God would do that. Really, you read in the prophets, God said, I love justice. He told Moses in Exodus, I will show love to a thousands who love me, but he said, those who do not love me, I'll repay them back to their face. That's cut and dried. God says, I will look them right in the eye. And that's done out of love. That's hard to get our mind around. God will send people to hell out of love. Yeah. He said, I love justice, but I also love mercy. That's borne out in the fact that he sent his son to die on a cross for our sins, because he wants to show mercy. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Jesus said that. He also affirmed Leviticus 19:18. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This word for love is agape, which means affection and goodwill. That's how he loved us. He said, I want you to love each other that way. Yeah, but Lord, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. He says, yeah, I do, and I don't care. I talked about forgiveness one Sunday. Look how much we've been forgiven for. And the Lord says, don't be petty and hold things over people and refuse to love them, because I love you. When I think about the person that I was before I came to Christ, it amazes me that the Bible says God sent Christ to die for me when I was still in that state, while I was his enemy. That's the love that God had. John was right. He said, God is love. The problem that we run into, church, and it's in the history of Israel, and Paul told the church of Corinth, you need to learn from history. The Corinthians, some of them were going back to the idol temples, going to the houses of ill repute as Christians, and saying, well, we're not under the law, bless God, we're under grace. And Paul said, you need to learn a lesson from Israel's history. They tried that, and it was a bummer, man. It didn't work out. He said, church, you better learn from that. He said to the Roman church, God is both good and severe. And both those qualities come out of love. And that's what happens in the church. I've had it happen in my life. I think any honest Christian that's been a Christian very long can testify, yeah, there's been times that I have caught myself loving me more than God. Loving me more than my brothers and sisters in Christ. The key to true religion, according to God, is love. First and foremost, he said, you love me. You love my word, and I want you to love your brothers and sisters. Jesus became a man, according to Hebrews, so he could sympathize with us, because he too has been tempted every way you and I have, yet without sin. And I can go to him in the throne room of grace boldly and say, Lord, I need help. And he can say, I know exactly how you feel. Don't let your love grow cold. I said a while back, Jesus said in Matthew, because wickedness will abound, the love of most will grow cold. And that word he used is agape. And the Christian scholars claim only Christians can have that love. That's the love of God. And Jesus said they will begin to hate one another and betray one another. That is at the heart of all of our problems. Who do you love? I have to ask myself that just about every day. When I make decisions, when I have thoughts, I have to say, who am I loving? Do I love God or do I love me? You can do all the right things in religion. You can go through all the motions. And yet, if it's love for self, for recognitions and pat on the back, God doesn't recognize it. He doesn't acknowledge it. The same rebuke is held out for you and I as he held out for the Pharisees. I know you. The love of God isn't in you. So let that be your motivation. Let that be the litmus that you gauge what you do by. Am I doing this because I love God, or am I refusing to do it because I love me? We need to be honest with ourselves. You know, God didn't give him the rules and say, you will keep these rules. Now, he did command him to keep the law. But you notice in Deuteronomy, he said, you know what the most important thing you need to do is? You need to love me. You need to trust me. You need to obey me. You need to love my word. You need to understand that's my word. Yeah, men wrote it. The whole Bible was written by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's God's testimony to us. John said that if everything was recorded that Jesus said and did, he supposed even the world itself couldn't hold all the books. So God took the most important things and put them in this book for us. I'm not questioning anyone here for their love of God. But what I am saying, what I think the Holy Spirit wants to say to the church today, ask yourself, who do I love? Do I love me or do I love the Lord? Do I love me or do I love my brothers and sisters? Me love is selfish love. It's impure motives. When you're trying to do what a benevolent love is supposed to do, if it's to get recognition for me, God doesn't accept that. Jesus said to the Pharisees, how will you escape judgment? And people on the outside looked at it and said, wow, those guys are holy. And Jesus said, they're doing it all for themselves, for that pat on the back, for that attaboy. It's hard to love other people sometimes. I've said that. Jesus said, if you love sinners, if you love only those who love you, sinners do the same thing. Why should God think that was doing anything? God goes above that because he is love. He loves those who hate him. They all have the same opportunity that you and I do to come to Christ. Free will. You choose. Love is the same way. To love God with all the heart, soul, and might is a consent of your free will. I choose to love you. Just like God said to Israel, I chose to love you. And that word love there means cling to. In spite of all the things they did, God said, I cling to you. I love you. And I'm going to fulfill my promise, even when it meant judgment. Father, we thank you so much for the love that you show us. And we ask that you would help us show that love for others. In our deepest frustrations, in the things that we don't understand, in the things that we resent the most, would you remind us that we are to love you, love your word, and love others. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ and for your glory. Amen.